Hello, and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is a beer cicerone, aka a beer expert, named Christina Perozzi. She currently works for Goose Island in Chicago, but first found her true calling for beer right here in Santa Monica. We talked about different styles of beer, some cool history about beer, like, for example, where the term IPA comes from. And, of course, we tasted some beer. Personally, I know nothing about beer, so this was really helpful, and I enjoyed talking to her, and she's hilarious, and she was easy to talk to. And I'd say if you're listening at home, this is a good primer to, you know, learn a little bit more about beer. So I'd say crack open a cold one and enjoy.
From the Fox 11 studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the Olympic and Bundy podcast with host Kelly Taylor.
Okay, so you're fresh in from Chicago.
Fresh in from Chicago, yes.
A few
airport nightmare.
Yes, standard.
Yeah, I thought that the weather only applied for winter in Chicago, but I guess it applies in September as well.
Yes.
Fogged in for a while and flew through Denver. My husband and child flew through Oklahoma City and then Denver, and they were almost getting bumped to Vegas and then Burbank, if you can believe that.
What?
It's crazy.
Wow. And to Burbank. I've never been to Burbank, but everyone like raves about it.
Really?
Yeah. Just that it's like, or no, not the city, the airport.
Oh.
Burbank is a paradise. No, they always say that Burbank Airport is amazing compared to LAX because obviously right. LAX is like.
Well, LAX is a hellhole.
Yes.
You know. We showed up. We're just like, ugh.
Yeah. And the bag situation on top of that is like, just get me out of here.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were forced to check our bags because there are too many people on flights and then they lost something and then there were no taxis and there was like tons of traffic at Thursday night. Why?
Yeah. Right. Like, where is everyone going right now? Yeah.
So we were just like.
Standard.
Anyway, I love LA.
Yes. Yeah. That's cool. And you were saying your family's from California.
Well, my family lives in California now.
Oh, okay.
So we're originally from the Midwest. So I was actually born in St. Louis and I grew up in Illinois. But Southern Illinois.
Gotcha.
So about 4 hours south of Chicago. And then I went to school in the Midwest and I moved out here and lived here for a long time. And I was a musician out here, or trying to be a musician. And that's why I was bartending to make a living. And that's why I got into beer and craft
beer.
Yeah.
Wow. What instruments did you play?
Piano and guitar, and I sang. But I realized that a lot of people do it a lot better. Already.
Gotcha. Well, I feel like it sounds like you found something else that you're really good at, right?
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. It was in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica. It was kind of the right place at the right time because LA is about 10 years behind, or at least was when I started in this, kind of the curve as far as beer is concerned.
Really?
Yeah, it just wasn't sexy. Like, people didn't want to drink it. They were too, you know, caught up in the calories.
So they were going for like the vodka soda or the martini or.
Right. I don't want to date myself, but we can even, you know, talk about pucker martinis and cosmopolitan.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know that. Wait, what's in pucker martini?
A pucker. I only heard about this, of course.
Yeah.
Pucker is like a sour apple liqueur.
Oh. Oh, wait. I've had that. Yeah. No, I've had that. My friends in
like
college used to get that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't like want to have six of them, but it's like pretty good.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
Yeah. It's sweet.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. So did you always like beer? I mean, like just the taste of it?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I actually hated beer. And I had to drink beer in college. Because what choice
That's
do you
the
have?
Easiest to get. Right? Okay.
Of course, when I was 21 and over.
Yes. Okay.
And, you know, we were just drinking the, you know, light, ultra light, fizzy, you know, not a lot of differentiation between the brands. So if you don't like, you know, a light Pilsner, you're not going to like 90% of the beers that you can get. Or even then, you know, I went to Indiana University and... you know, grew up in the Midwest at the time, you know, there wasn't very much variation at all in the beers that we were drinking.
A lot of Bud Light, a lot of natural light.
Yep. A lot of it.
Yeah.
And so when I moved to California and I started working for a bar called Father's Office in Santa Monica.
Yes.
Famous for their burger and not allowing ketchup.
What?
No ketchup.
Interesting. I don't like ketchup, but I feel like people would be... Did people come in not knowing that and get, like, mad?
Oh, mad.
Like, what are you talking about?
Mad.
Why the no ketchup?
It's a thing.
A thing. Okay.
It's a chef thing.
So people would, yeah, riot.
Yeah, it was the aioli with the fries. Fries weren't meant to, you know, be served with ketchup.
Gotcha.
It's an American thing.
Gotcha.
Whatever.
Okay.
We thought we said we were going to open a ketchup store next door. Which
yeah. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
People would bring it in, like in packets.
Oh,
we would call it contraband. We would let them do that.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I love how they stood their ground though. Like, no ketchup. Sorry. Like,
bringing it.
Not happening. Yeah. And like, no, we'll sneak it in. It's good. That's funny.
So anyway, I started working at this bar, Father's Office. I started out as a bar back. My mother was so proud of me with my aforementioned college degree.
Yes.
I'm clearing plates and
did you go to college for music? Like something related to music?
No, I didn't, but Indiana University is a very good music school. I went for journalism, actually.
Oh. Hey,
hey!
You come to the right place.
Look at me, Mom.
Yes. So you were a bar back.
I was a bar back, but in order to get to be a bartender, which is where the real money was, you had to go through all the steps. You had to know every one of the beers. There were 36 beers on tap. You had to know where they came from, who made them, what the alcohol percentage was, what the style was, what the story was behind it. And I just became fascinated with it. It was like cultural anthropology to me. Like, who was making this? Why were they making it? Because some of these styles are named after, you know, socioeconomic status or, you know, something that was happening culturally at the time or, you know, something that, you know, they only had access to certain ingredients or the weather was only a certain way.
Yeah.
So it was just really cool to me. It's kind of like wine knowledge, you know.
100%. Yeah. So much, like, there's so much to learn.
Right.
So many different kinds, like styles and.
Right.
And
well, and also I didn't know anything. So that to me was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like this exists.
Do you remember at the time having like a favorite, say if you were going to drink one, do you remember at that time?
Like
if
the
you
very
had a favorite?
First beer that I started drinking. Yes, I do. It was called Lindeman's. It was a peach lambic.
Oh.
It was very, I think, I actually still like it a lot. But it's a lambic beer is a Belgian style that uses wild yeast. So generally lambics are thought of as very sour.
Uh-huh.
But then because they add fruit to ease the sourness,
yes.
You can get a lot of these fruited lambics. So there's like peach and apple and
gotcha.
You know, cassis and all these
is that sort of like is Lindeman who makes Summer Shandy?
No, that's Line and Kugel.
Line and anyone listening to this is like, no. Okay.
So Lindeman's is Belgian.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. So then you slowly start like learning about that. And then how do you make the transition from, I'm assuming you became a bartender.
Yes, I made it.
Woo. Okay.
Made the big time.
Yes. And then how did you make the transition from that to becoming a beer sommelier or Cicerone?
Cicerone, yeah. So at the time I was calling myself a beer sommelier.
Okay.
Because Cicerone was kind of just getting started.
Okay.
But now I am a Cicerone because I...
And will you explain what Cicerone means?
And so Cicerone is the name of... You know, I actually don't even know what Cicerone means exactly.
I was seeing, like, just today I Googled Cicerone because I was like, what does that name come from? And there was a website called Cicerone, like, certificate program.
Right.
And so I just assumed maybe that's, like, the company, what it's called, and it became that.
So that's what I did. So that's, it's, those two things are intertwined. So certified Cicerone is someone who has gone through the learning program at the Cicerone establishment and has tested... to become a certain level. So I'm a certified Cicerone, but there are other levels. Like you could become an advanced Cicerone and a master Cicerone. There are like only 12 master Cicerones in the world or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's tough.
So maybe they started saying beer sommelier just because like with wine that people were used to that word.
That's why I said it because people would be able to understand what I was doing with beer.
Yeah.
If I said beer sommelier. They're like, oh, okay, you're going to pair it with food. You're going to talk about its history. You're going to talk to me about what I like and it's gonna, you know, we're gonna talk about different flavors and you know, you'll give me then something based on our conversation and what I'm eating, you know, that can enhance my meal or experience
yes.
or whatever.
Okay.
So people got that when you said beer sommelier.
Gotcha. How long did it take to become a Cicerone?
I just took the test last year.
Oh.
But I wasn't like studying the whole time.
Okay. Okay.
I caved and I took it.
Gotcha. So basically your time at Father's office mm-hmm. is what inspired you to like sort of get into learning about beer.
Right. So I started learning about beer there, and then I started a blog called Beer for Chicks.
Yes.
Using my journalism.
Love it.
And
what year was that you started the blog?
2007.
Okay. So
2006, something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe earlier, maybe 5, 6, 7. I can't remember, but
gotcha.
Right in there.
Okay.
A lot of...
Because you like to write probably and you were like, oh, shoot.
Like to write. And I was at Father's office, I was running across so many people, especially women, but men knew as little as women did.
Yeah.
So many people had no idea what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah.
About beer, they would come out, I just want something light, but light can mean so many different things. Does it mean light in color? Does it mean light in flavor? Does it
yeah.
mean light calories? Does it mean light in alcohol content?
Right.
Like, what does it mean, easy drinking? Like, what does it mean to you? Because
yes.
you can have a very light beer, probably talk about this later, but you can have a very light colored beer that's very high in alcohol content.
Yes.
It's very strong. And you can have, you know, a beer that's, you know, really, really dark and have it be very light in alcohol content, very light in body and very light in
yes.
flavor. So
okay.
it was kind of started as a way to make our jobs a little easier.
Yeah.
Because it's like, look, if we educate all of these people, then when they come in, they'll be able to say exactly what they want and they'll
yeah.
be able to understand and they'll be able to enjoy it more and they'll
yeah.
be able to start exploring a little bit more. And so we kind of came up with a vernacular and how to talk about beer to customers. And then we realized when we were telling women this in particular, because they seemed a little bit more receptive to the information, because I think beer is one of those very masculinized mm-hmm. Beverages.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it's like asking for directions. Like men are not supposed, you're supposed to know where you're going, right? Like men are supposed to know about football and they're supposed to know about beer. So there wasn't a lot of questions being asked of us anyway.
Right. Okay.
But the women, you would tell them, okay, this is a Belgian style ale. It's made with wheat and orange peel. And they'd be like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this back. And like that knowledge was empowering to them. And
gotcha.
So that's why we started the blog.
Beer for Chicks.
Beer for Chicks. And then I wrote this article called A Woman's Work is Never Done. And it was all about how the original brewers were women. And that was what you did at home. You made bread, you made the clothes, you made soap, you made the beer.
Wow.
So it was really originally like women's chores.
Right.
Right, to do. And it was about women being homebrewers. And it just so happened that I was also writing a book proposal with another girl who worked at Father's office with me, Hallie. And a literary agent happened to read that article and contact me. And then I said, well, we actually have a book in the works. And so she helped us with the proposal, and we sold it to Penguin. And so that got published in 2009.
Yeah. Wait, is that the one that's called you have two books,
yes.
right? Okay. So the first one then was The Naked Pint.
The Naked Pint.
Gotcha.
Yes. So that was about stripping away the misconceptions. It's pretty,
yeah.
that's clever, isn't
that's
it?
That's super cool. So, well, I mean,
also a little Williams Burroughs-y.
The Naked Pint.
Yeah.
Very sexy. As far as like when you were digging back and learning some history about mm-hmm. beer, like you mentioned how mm-hmm. all women were brewing the beer, what are some interesting things that you found out just about like the history of beer?
One thing is really interesting, which we can talk about, and I'm wondering when are we going to start drinking?
Right now. Right now. Yeah.
I have this rule about like talking about beer.
Yeah.
And not
what are we doing?
Beer.
We need to be, yeah. For those of you listening, okay. we have tell us what we have right
okay.
now.
Okay. So I work, long story short, we.
Yeah. Back to the Future.
Wrote a couple of books. The Naked Pint's about kind of a primer on craft beer. Then we wrote a book called The Naked Brewer, and I always apologize to all brewers because I don't know if you hung out with a lot of brewers in your life, but you might not want to see them naked very often.
Hey, brewers out there.
Hey, brewers, love you. And I'd be happy to see them naked, yes, personally. But
yep.
Okay, so we wrote the books. We had our company called The Beer Chicks, and we did consulting and did like beer lists for
like restaurants, or cool
hotels, bars, etc. Because it was really new once again to the city. And it was becoming a huge thing. People like were wanting it everywhere they were going. They were wanting it in fancy restaurants.
Gotcha. So this is slowly when Los Angeles was catching up.
Yeah. So I was kind of at the right place, right time also. So, you know, luck meets opportunity meets knowledge or whatever. That
It
only happened once to me, so I didn't know.
I know what you're, I know where you're going with that.
So we ended up... like doing TV shows, and we did Gordon Ramsay's show. And I got to kiss him on the cheek, and you know, we did a lot of cool things. And then we both got married to different people.
Yeah, you guys are sister wives,
right? And both of our husbands at the same time said, you know, get a real job, kind of.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So I started working for Goose Island as an educator for them on the West Coast, and then I've been. Moved up a little bit there, so now I'm their education director. So I brought some Goose Island beers from our company.
Yes, very cool. What's the one that you just poured?
Okay, so I just poured the Goose IPA, and you were asking what's one of the stories you know, that you've learned. So this is a big one.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite ones, and this is one that make people go like, ooh. Okay, so IPA, you've heard that, right?
Yes.
Means India Pale Ale. And people wonder, where did this style come from? So, you know, India Pale Ales are known as being, you know, kind of bitter, dry. Here, let's just... So I also, when you taste it for the first time, I kind of pull air over my...
Oh, like when you're tasting wine.
Exactly.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be bitter. You want it to be bitter.
So you're basically sucking in, like, is there an official way to taste beer? Sort of like how they say the official way to taste wine.
Yes, kind of. I mean, there are less rules with beer than with wine, and that's the way the beer people like it.
Yeah,
okay. There's kind of a fear of the vinification of beer.
Yeah.
But yes.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Basically, you know, you still look and observe it. You can kind of see what color it is, how clear it is. Is it brilliant? Is it hazy?
How would you describe this one?
I would say that this is a golden amber color, brilliantly clear, with good lacing and head retention, and light ivory colored carbonation or head.
Got it. Okay.
That can tell you a lot about the beer, but we can get into that with the other beers when we're talking about like what we're tasting. So back to India Pale Ale was a style that was invented way back in the mid-1800s. It was the time, it's an English style, it's an English invention. It was during the time when the English were colonizing India. And it was also the days before the Suez Canal, days before refrigeration, days before... you know, the turbine, you know, engine.
Right.
And days before stainless steel. And so beer was being put in wooden barrels, which can't be sanitized.
Right.
And porous, so you have kind of this breathing, living thing. Then it was being put on sailboats that are listing up and down, agitating the beer for a really, really long time down around the tip of Africa. To get to India, and then huge temperature variations, right? Because you're going past the equator twice, and you're also going past the tip of Africa. Which
so it's kind of cool, hot, again. Yeah.
So anything that can be bad for beer, that was. So huge temperature variations, agitation, a long period of time, and the beer was going bad by the time it got to India. Uh-huh. And what you don't want is soldiers and colonists waiting for the beer to show up, and then when it does... It's off.
It's spoiled.
Yeah. It's bad. Bad news.
Talk about a buzzkill.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
And so there was this man named Hodgson. It's not on the test. Yeah. But he discovered.
Yeah, is there a test?
Actually, yes, there is. There is one. You'll be a Cicerone after.
Okay.
He discovered that hops, which are these little dealies right here.
Oh, wow. Like, okay. So this is audio. So you can't see this, obviously. Oh, yeah. But she's got... some cool props, like actual hops. Oh, I've never seen this in person.
So this is a hop. So this is a dried hop. So hop is a vining cone, like a flower of a hop vine.
Am I correct in saying there's like several, like dozens of different kinds of hops?
Yes.
Right?
Way over that amount. Okay. Yeah. So I think of hops like I think of grape varietals. Uh-huh. So there's Sauvignon Blanc that tastes different than Chardonnay grape, that tastes different than, you know, a Viognier grape, you know, just all kinds of different aromas and tastes and bitterness levels. And so this hop that I just had you take out of the bag is called a Cascade hop. And hops provide a lot of different things to beer. One of the things they provide is bitterness. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main thing people think of. If I said a beer was hoppy, people would just
think bitter.
It's bitter.
Okay.
But it also, if you like smell it, you can like smush them up too, because that if you squeeze them, you release the oil in them, man. And that's what really gives you the flavors and the aromatics.
Mm.
It smells like citrus mm-hmm. and a little piney.
Yeah, it is really citrusy.
Yeah. So this is called Cascade. So this is an American style of hops.
Gotcha.
It's an American hybrid. It's known to be bigger. So a lot of the American style IPAs or West Coast style IPAs will use a hop like this, like a New World hop. So this gives you bitterness. It gives you dryness. It balances out the sweetness in beer. If you had a beer without hops, it would be very cloyingly sweet.
Yeah.
So even beers that don't present themselves as hoppy have hops in them.
Just a less amount.
Just a less amount, and the balance is different between that. So what they also have is a preservative quality. They're antimicrobial.
Oh.
So Hodgson added more hops to the beer, which preserved it. And he added more malt to yeast ratio, which gives you more alcohol, and everyone already knew that alcohol was a preservative, and the beer made the trip to India. So India Pale Ale was named where it was because of where it was going to, not where it was coming from. And it's always a little bit, or at least traditionally, was hoppier, more bitter, and had a higher alcohol content than a pale ale.
Wow. So I wonder if the people in India, when they started drinking this beer with more hops, if they were like, whoa, this is bitter. Or if they were just like, yes, we have beer again.
Well,
you know?
I think they were probably pretty stoked that they had beer again. But what ended up happening was it became such a popular style back in England.
Oh.
And so this Goose IPA that you're having is very much quintessential English style IPA.
Okay.
Because now as we've moved west and to America and the East Coast and the Midwest and the West Coast, we've gotten bigger and better and hoppier. We're going to add 100 different kinds of hops. It's going to kick your butt. It's going to be awesome. So this is much more of a sessionable, easy, balanced. Like I would say that there are American pale ales that are hoppier than this IPA.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the taste of this. And I think it's because maybe I've had more hoppy beer.
Right. It's also an acquired taste.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely is. The more hoppy beers you have, the more bitter you want your beers to be.
Gotcha. That's how I feel about cold brew coffee.
I just started drinking that.
Seriously.
It's really good.
It's so good.
I would prefer to have cold brew coffee. Now.
Definitely. And I, like, the darker it is, good. Like, I don't need extra things in it. Like, anyways, I digress.
It must be, like, a good taste thing.
Yeah.
People with good taste.
Yes. Very smooth. Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, interesting that hops. I wonder if so. Basically, for anyone who's like wants to order an IPA, is into IPA, wants to start trying it. That's pretty cool. I like knowing backstories like that.
Yeah.
People who initially wanted to get it, it's because someone smart thought to put hops in it to keep it from spoiling and to get to India.
Right.
Okay.
People just wanted their beer.
Yeah.
So a lot, you know, these stories and these styles like are because of necessity.
Yeah.
One style that I really like talking about is, again, a British story, but Scotch ale is known for being very dark in color and kind of smoky, and it's because the English actually gave the Scots their malt that they had burnt because they were subjugated. So you can use this malt to make beer. And so they made very kind of burnt, smoky ale.
Wow.
So if you ever have a Scotch ale, you would kind of expect, not all of them do and many of them don't, but you would expect that it would be a certain kind of smokiness, certain kind of maltiness. Yeah. But you know that from the story of it.
This would take so long to learn. All of it.
A lot of beers.
I mean, jeez. Yeah, a lot of beers have to be consumed to learn this. So interesting. Okay, so hold on. I also definitely want to talk about, there's some different, before we get to Oktoberfest versus like some other seasonal beers, there's obviously some different styles.
Right.
Can we just quickly go over like some of the main styles?
So we get this a lot because, once again, as Americans, we all think styles are brands almost.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once again, 90% of the beers that we have are one style of beer, and that's a Pilsner. Which is
okay.
So all beers, primarily, and this is in beer, there's kind of no, like, there are exceptions to every rule, kind of like the English language, but there's all beers are either ales or lagers.
Okay.
And that has to do with the kind of yeast they use in making the beer and what temperature that beer has been fermented at.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the color. Nothing to do with the alcohol content, nothing to do with the bitterness. It only has to do with how that beer was made. So most people think lagers are really light in color and very light bodied and light in alcohol content because we associate Pilsner with lager because we're used to lagers being Pilsner.
Yeah.
But lagers are just beers that have been fermented over longer periods of time. Lager comes from a German word, lagern, which means to store. It's kind of discovered by accident. They stored their beer in caves to ferment, and it was a cool cave. And the beers were allowed to ferment out, and the solids dropped out of it and created this really sparkly, subtle, delicious beer. And then there are ales, which are generally fermented in warmer temperatures for shorter periods of time.
Okay.
Lagers use a lager yeast, which is a bottom fermenting yeast. I think of cold and sinking. That yeast works better kind of from the bottom up. And then ales use an ale yeast, and that is kind of yeast that is top fermenting and ferments going down. Now, once again, there are many, many, many kinds of yeast. So yeast is a single-celled fungus that eats sugar and creates alcohol and CO2.
Gotcha.
Am I getting?
No, getting I mean, it's no, it makes sense. It's obviously like so much, like it's kind of technical and like there's a lot to learn about it, obviously, but
it's cooking.
So to for me to explain back to you. So I get this. Ales or lagers?
Right.
Lagers have been fermenting longer, and ales, the temperature is warmer.
Right, and shorter periods of time.
Shorter periods of time.
So lagers, cold, long.
Okay.
Ales, not hot, but warm and short.
Okay. Is that why in my mind I am associating like a summer ale? Like, are there a lot of beers with that title? Summer ale?
Yeah, there are a couple. I think we even have one.
Do you?
We do have one, yeah.
Okay.
So, but then you can break it down even further. So all beers are ales or lagers, but then beneath that, then you have the styles.
Then you could have like light, dark,
well, then you cream. Have pale ale. It's a style of ale, obviously.
Yeah.
IPA, style of ale. Stout, style of ale. You can have a fest beer, style of lager. You can have a Pilsner, style of lager. There's a beer that's actually very dark in color. Called a Schwartz beer.
Do you want to open?
Which is a lager.
I was going to say, I have more cups. If you want to open the other one.
Okay.
While we're talking.
Here, let's do this. Let's pour.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want you to see the color.
Yeah.
And we can talk about color, too.
So
I'm
what
terrified
would, like,
I'm going to short out this equipment with this beer.
Oh, yeah. No spilling. We're very high tech around here. Wait, hold on really quickly. Do you have a hard out time?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure because soon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can do like, if I left in 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're not, you know, late to anything.
I got to go to Santa Ana.
Oof. Don't take the 5 freeway. Do you have to take the 5 freeway to get to Santa Ana?
I won't now.
Okay. Just southbound. You'll be good northbound. Okay. The beauty of working at the news, I know the traffic situations.
That's right.
I'm friends with the traffic people. Okay, so you just poured the Fest beer.
So this is the Fest beer, and actually this is a really good timing because tomorrow, which is also my birthday is the start of Oktoberfest in Munich
for
2017.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank
and
you.
How perfect. That,
yeah.
Have you been to Oktoberfest?
Never.
Oh.
I know, it's kind of one of my little beer secrets. I haven't been to Belgium either. Now everybody knows.
Yeah. It's out. Cat's out of the bag. Cicerone hasn't been to Belgium.
No.
No. You got time.
So this is a Fest beer. So Fest beers are usually, they're another style called Marzen.
Uh-huh.
Or Oktoberfest beers.
And those are like on menus a lot now in the fall.
Exactly. So when we talk up, so there are seasonal beers also, and a lot of times those are kind of marketing ideas versus actual seasonality of beers. But then there also are beers that are seasonal. So this is one of those examples. This is generally or traditionally was a beer that was made in March, in the late winter, because it was very difficult these days before refrigeration to ferment a beer in the summer.
Yeah.
So, because of all the bacteria and it would go off and all that stuff. So they would make all their beer in the spring and winter. And then it would be consumed. It'd be stored cold in the caves. And then it would be consumed, for instance, at Oktoberfest. So Marzen, which is a style of beer, it's a German style of beer that was generally made in March and fermented in March traditionally. Now is known as Fest beer because it's a beer that's consumed
around that time.
Around
Fest time.
Yeah, Fest time. Which isn't necessarily in October. It ends October 3rd this year, I think.
Yeah, interesting. I went to Munich and I remember back in like 2011, I remember how they were saying that Oktoberfest is actually kind of a crazy time to visit because it gets so crowded.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So on one hand, it'd be really fun to go,
right,
especially for you, I'm sure. And then on the other hand, it's almost like I would wonder if you'd get to see the city as it normally is. Like, you know what I mean? I'd almost want to go before it starts and then stay for it a little bit.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen several of my friends go and something happens to them and the next day they're in their lederhosen.
Oh, they're totally turned.
Like, I'm going to go. Yeah. It's not going to be a big deal. I'm not going to like put on lederhosen
Maybe
or
I'll
anything.
Just quit my job and travel the world.
Next thing you know, they have the feather in their hat.
I'm just going to go backpacking for months. That's funny. So
this beer is known as, so this is a lager, but once again, it's a little bit darker in color. And you'll...
Okay.
This...
Yeah, it's interesting because this is like... I mean, it is a little bit darker, but when you're talking lager versus ale, this is like... kind of, I mean, sort of the same color.
Comparable, right?
Yeah.
An amber. This is also very clear. So lagers have a tendency to be very sparkling and clear. Usually if there's a little haze in your beer, it's either from some of the proteins that are still in beer, which tend to get left over from a shorter fermentation process that would happen in ales. Because when you have this long, you know, we have time for the proteins to fall out and have it be beautiful and sparkling. And then also you can tell a lager generally by aromatics or the lack of aromatics. Because, you know, I always say that aromatics are fugitive. And so, for instance, if you're sautéing garlic in your house, you know, it fills up your entire house 3 minutes after you saute garlic and it's, you know, super intense.
Really strong.
Then half an hour later, it's a little bit, and then, you know, an hour later, it's gone.
Yeah.
So if you have a longer time to ferment, the idea is that the aromatics have time to blow off and kind of run away. So when I smell a beer and I'm not getting a ton, I'm getting toasty, roasty kind of notes in this.
Uh-huh. Toasty roasty. I'm about to use that like just tonight. This beer is quite toasty roasty.
Toasty roasty. Caramel.
I see what you mean though.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never come up with that on my own, obviously, but I see what you mean.
Well, it's the power of suggestion also.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tricking you.
Yeah, true. You could be like, oh, it smells like apples. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Okay, watch this. Raisins.
There may be some raisins in there.
Magic.
Yes.
All right. So we'll taste it. So that doesn't have that hoppy, bitter quality.
You know what's interesting? I think I like the IPA. I mean,
see,
I would drink this 100% if given to me. But I think if I was going to choose, I'd do the IPA. And I don't know if I would have said that before this.
Well, a lot of people, and once again, not to single out, but especially women, don't think they want an IPA. So if someone says, hey, this is a really bitter, hoppy beer, they're like, oh, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I'll just have something light, or I'll just have, you know, wheat beer, or I'll have, you know, which is great. I love those beers. But, you know, we like coffee. We're just talking about that. We love, you know, bitter chocolate. I mean, there's a lot of bitterness that people, and so it's interesting because more often than not, if I give someone an IPA or a woman an IPA who says, I don't like IPAs, that they'll will like it.
Interesting. Yeah. So you found that a lot of...
I've converted you.
I might be the IPA. My boyfriend orders IPAs all the time, and I'm like, eh, I don't know.
Because it's also quite malty. It's quite... Yeah. There's a sweet caramel balance to those hops, and that's what makes a beer good, is that balance between the sweetness and the malt and the bitterness and the hops.
Now, tell me if this is really out there, but sometimes I've tasted IPAs that if I was blindfolded, I would maybe think... Is this grapefruit juice?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's your spot on.
Okay.
Because when we were talking about these hops, these citrus hops, so these big, we call them the four C's or the big C's, like Cascade, Columbus, Centennial. These hops really give off like grapefruit rind qualities. Uh-huh. Big grapefruit.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Especially in the nose. Yeah.
I mean, I like grapefruit, on. But...
I do too.
Shoot. Okay. Okay. So before you have to go, I also really want to talk about like what would be a couple foods that you might. Let's take these for example.
Okay. Well,
because that's part of being a cicerone.
Yes, it's part of being a cicerone and a sommelier. It's just
part of your life.
Drinking beer now, yeah. So, you know, when people ask me this, I know. Burgers taste good with IPA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know chicken wings taste awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I've never met a chicken wing I did not like. But what I am trying to do is kind of elevate the experience and have people think about beer in a different way and bring it to occasions they wouldn't necessarily think about it being a part of. So that being said, for me... You know, those herbaceous piney notes that we got in the IPA, in the Goose IPA. I would say like rosemary, garlic, lamb roast.
Yes, anything rosemary I'm all about. Yeah.
And then this with a little bit of citrus, wouldn't that be really like a kind of a squeeze of like lemon or something like that on there? And I think the intensity also matches with something like that. The Fest beer to me is a little more malty, a little sweeter, a little bit more caramel. So I might even say like a pork dish or something, or a duck that you generally would have something sweet with. You know, generally you have a duck confit with like a chutney or something, or you'll have, you know, pork and apples are a really good combination. So having this be like that sweet note with something like savory like that, I think would be awesome too. And let's not forget about dessert, because this also would be awesome with, and I've had it with carrot cake.
The IPA?
Yeah. The dressing, I mean dressing, the icing can't be too sweet.
God, I love carrot cake.
Yeah.
So good.
Carrot cake, mascarpone, frosting, not too sweet, with IPA. Forget it.
Have you eaten lunch today?
I have.
Because I was just thinking... eaten in a while, like all this sounds so good to me, and
I've learned my lesson.
So hungry.
I've learned my lesson about doing beer tastings.
That's true.
Without,
that's true. That's
eating.
Good. It's probably a good move.
It'd be a different show.
Yes. So, okay, if someone, like for example, if someone since you're a beer, your title is beer educator, are you educating people outside of the company, or
yes?
Okay, so people could potentially like seek this advice.
Yes. So we're doing a whole consumer, we're doing a whole series of classes for the public now, because we just opened our barrel warehouse, this whole big facility. So we have space in there to do classes. We're doing cooking demos and cooking classes and baking with
such a good idea.
And beer and cheese and
That's such a good like Christmas gift for someone,
right?
Or you know, anniversary gift, or you know, whatever.
So much fun, and people, you know, still you know, surprises me that people are surprised about, you know, this. Maybe it's just because I've been talking about it for so long, but
yeah. Yeah, you're like, this is old news. Yeah.
Am I not making an impact?
Right?
My life's work. I've not heard what
I've been
saying.
You're going to be like 75, like, all right.
There are ales and there are lagers.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so in that, you were out here. Is that something that people in Southern California could do?
If they go to Chicago.
Okay. So, but I'm sure that in general that exists here.
So when I first started, it was very rare to have a beer pairing dinner. We did one with Rustic Canyon in Santa Monica, who I worked for a little bit also. And it was, you know, different courses, each one paired with a different beer, like a wine pairing dinner. Now, I mean, really the industry has grown so much, and the beer world in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Now it's like
has
so
grown
hip.
So much. Yeah, I remember there were three Los Angeles breweries when I started.
Three?
Yeah.
And you think how big Los Angeles is. Three in the whole place.
I think there were like 20 last year. I mean, group.
Oh, I'm
there were
sure.
20 new ones last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like 50 or something like that in the Los Angeles area. Maybe that was this past year.
Yeah, so clearly a trend that's like taking...
Oh, yeah.
Taking off incredibly.
Yeah, and it's not falling off.
No.
It's just
yeah,
you know,
when I say
demand,
trend, meaning like, oh, it's just up and up. Yeah.
Yeah, the demand for good beer and you know, being able to drink this at occasions, because it's not, you know, it's not pretentious. It's not, you know, you're not nervous about it.
Yeah.
It's not something.
It's way more, to me, it feels more approachable than
walking
into like a wine shop and being like, oh, give me your best. Like, it's more intimidating to me, wine than beer.
Yeah.
Even though, clearly, there's so much to learn about beer.
Yeah, but the great thing is
also,
you don't have to know any of it to get a good beer.
Yeah.
I always just say to people,
it.
Like, just drink it. Cheers.
Clink. Clink, clink, clink. This mic is pretty good. Picks up. I just heard it.
I tell people to order by flavor.
Okay.
So you don't have to know if it's an ale or a lager. You don't have to know what style it is. But if you say, I'd like something chocolatey, you know, not too bitter, you know, that has kind of roasty toasty notes.
Yeah.
Odds are that you would be given a porter.
Okay.
You know, or a stout or something like that. You know, if you go and you say, I love IPAs. Well, sorry, take that out of it. I want something bitter and dry and herbaceous.
Uh-huh.
You'd probably get, you know, an IPA or double IPA.
I feel like I should test a bartender.
Yeah,
like
test
say bartender. That and see if they give me that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the bartender has to know what they're talking about.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
See if they're lit up on it.
Yeah.
You know? Very cool.
Report
okay.
Back.
How can people reach you? Like just if, you know, they had a, like on social media or.
I am on Instagram.
Oh.
I'm also
Don't
on Twitter.
Love the gram. Okay. Very cool.
We're the Beer Chicks on Twitter. We're Goose EDU.
Yeah.
Goose-EDU on Instagram.
Okay. Cool. We'll put all that info in our show description, too.
Cool.
So links for all that. I feel like we could talk about this. I want you to come back next time you're in town. Because there's so much other things that I want to talk about, like homebrewing to me, kombucha.
Right.
Like, is that, you know what I mean? There's a lot. So maybe next time you're in Los Angeles, if you want to come back.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be cool.
We'll talk about...
Oh, wait, what's that?
Well, this is something we didn't get time to taste. But we do, at Goose Island, they do these, it's kind of an innovative department that does these kind of crazy, we have a big barrel aging program, and this was aged in wine barrels. It's sour cherry. I'll leave it with you.
Oh.
And then you can taste it. But it's sour.
That's so cool.
It tastes kind of like, if you like Burgundies.
Uh-huh. What's it called?
It's called Madame Rose. Madame Rose.
I'm watching Game of Thrones right now, and I feel like that would be good to drink during Game of Thrones.
It's sour and tart like Cersei.
Yes. Oh, yes, Cersei.
Oh, yeah. I even read, like, the wiki.
So I'm only on season three, and everyone's like, just wait for the Red Wedding. I'm like, I know Jon Snow. Maybe that something happened to him. Blah, blah, blah. I'm way behind.
Oh, you haven't.
So all I want to do, lately is just go home and watch Game of Thrones.
The Red Wedding, you're gonna freak out.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm on like I'm only episode five.
It's
it hasn't
so much
happened
worse
yet.
Than you already think.
people were brutal then, so brutal.
You know that's the fictional world, right?
You mean King Ned Stark isn't? I can't go visit Ned's grave.
You probably can now. They probably have it somewhere. And
some like mega fan has made a fake memorial for him. All right.
Sorry.
Such a good show. All right. Well, this has been fun.
Thank you. This has been awesome. Yeah. Next time we'll drink more beer.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us at Olympic and Bundy, and feel free to message me on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Olympic and Bundy with comments or ideas for future episodes. Next up on the show, we're talking about sharks and a couple guys with a technology for deterring sharks. One works with the company, the other is open water swimming all the time here in Southern California and actually bought the product. So we learned all about the technology, shark behavior, wearing this type of technology, what it does, and what it could potentially do for you. So look forward to that, and thanks again for listening.